well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking in just a moment with John Comerford, the Executive Director of NRA's Institute for Legislative Action. The House Ways and Means Committee finished its markup of their portion of the mega bill, the reconciliation bill, and of course the Ways and Means proposal, or at least their section of that budget proposal, contained a measure that would reduce the $200 NFA transfer fee for suppressors down to $0, while keeping suppressors on the list of restricted items. So, yeah, it would cost you less money to get a suppressor, but you would still have to get fingerprinted. You would still have to go through the NFA process. You would still have to, you know, register your device under the auspices of the NFA, which is not exactly what gun owners were hoping for, given the Republican majority in both the House and the Senate. There's been some discussion about how far Republicans could go under the reconciliation process. Could they remove suppressors completely from the NFA? Was there even a question posed to the parliamentarian of the House as to how far they could go? Well, John Comerford, again, NRA ILA Executive Director, is with us to answer those questions and more. So let's get right to that conversation. Take a look and a listen. John, thanks so much for coming on the program. It's good to see you again, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So we know that the Ways and Means Committee finished its markup this morning. I mean, this was a marathon session, I think about 17 hours or so.
Yes, it was.
So let me ask, what is the current language regarding suppressors that's coming out of the Ways and Means Committee?
So the current language takes the price of a tax stamp from $200 to $0. Now, is that all we want? Absolutely not. NRA is fully committed to getting Section 2 of the Hearing Protection Act put into this legislation. And the next step for that is the Rules Committee. There will be additional language on the whole package, because if anyone looks at the news currently, there are a lot of different groups and a lot of different caucuses and factions across Congress that have priorities in this. So there will be changes. What I can say is Chairman Jason Smith and the Ways and Means Committee absolutely opened the door to righting this nearly 100-year wrong of the National Firearms Act and suppressors. So this issue is very much alive.
Okay, that is good news. Any call to action for NRA members right now who want to see Section 2 of the Hearing Protection Act included in this budget reconciliation bill?
Absolutely. You should call your member of Congress, and also go ahead and call your U.S. senators as well. Because remember, this is just step one. In the reconciliation process, for the bill to work, it has to originate in the House. Now, the Senate may amend it. It's a tale as old as time. The Senate never generally accepts everything a House says. That's true on the state level and the federal level. But right now, the bill has moved out of the Ways and Means Committee. It's going to be combined with every other package that's involved, from Ag Committee and others, into one big, beautiful bill, as the president wants. So there is time to amend it, and there is time to add Section 2. So we're encouraging our members to call their member of Congress and ask them to include Section 2 of the Hearing Protection Act in the final reconciliation package. And that will remove suppressors from the National Firearms Act. That will treat a suppressor like a firearm. Should they be treated like an accessory? Absolutely. But this could be one of the biggest wins for gun owners that we've seen at a minimum in 21 years, if not in nearly 100.
You know, let's get down to brass tacks for a second here, John. What was the hangup? Why did the Ways and Means Committee not simply adopt Section 2 of the Hearing Protection Act? Why do we see this, you know, half measure where we'll take that $200 transfer tax down to zero, but you're still going to have to register with the federal government? You're still going to have to go through the fingerprinting process, right? All of that other, what I would say for many gun owners is the more onerous part of the NFA. How did we get here to this point?
Sure. NRA, since day one, we've been pushing for full inclusion of the Hearing Protection Act. Subsequently, we've gotten guidance from the U.S. Senate. There's a major test that any package that goes through reconciliation has to go through, and that's the Byrd test. And that's germane to being more revenue tax oriented than policy oriented from a basic standpoint. And that is determined by the Senate parliamentarian. The vice president can overrule that. However, they can fire a parliamentarian, all these things. They kind of consider those a more aggressive option. And that's not even on the table at this point. But a package has to pass Byrd. The House committee was operating off of guidance from the Senate on the full Hearing Protection Act passing Byrd. And that evolved to Section 2, because Section 2, in our opinion, will pass Byrd. That is why we're encouraging people to talk about Section 2. What I can say on the Ways and Means Committee and with Chairman Smith is the process they took, while it's not everything we asked for by any means, it absolutely opened the door, and it's keeping this process alive to still get Section 2 in there. And as you saw, they had a unanimous vote among the Republican members of the committee to get that out, which is a tradition that that committee has historically followed. We advocated for our position, but the committee ultimately went with the $0 per situation. It was $5, and then they went to zero. So we're still very much alive, and it's absolutely the time to put pressure on your member of Congress to put that in there.
Okay, and you say the Rules Committee is the next stop for this for the budget that comes out of the Ways and Means Committee, and that is another opportunity to amend this bill.
Technically, there's the Budget Committee and then Rules, but Rules is traditionally the committee where amendments would occur. And they need to put the whole package together, because there's hundreds of pages of legislation from multiple committees. You know, you have the Medicare piece, you have the SNAP piece, you have the SALT piece. And if you follow DC news, the SALT contingent is very much still negotiating for a position for their constituents. So there are a lot of complex factors in this big, beautiful bill. But what I can say is the first tax reduction on a firearm from the federal side just occurred. And that's been since 1960 or so, when they took the any other weapon category of the NFA from $200 to $5. So we're pushing for more. We're messaging our members, and we'll continue to do that until we can get it out of the House and get it over to the Senate and start this process over again.
All right, John, listen, again, I appreciate you joining us on the program. I know that it is a very busy time for you guys right now. And as you say, a lot of moving parts. I mean, this is something that I have to keep reminding myself that, you know, my most important priority is our right to keep and bear arms. But as you mentioned, you've got the folks, you know, the New York delegation is concerned about the SALT taxes, right, or the SALT deductions. Every member of Congress has their own particular, level of importance for what goes into this big, beautiful bill. And that's why I think, again, it's so contingent on gun owners, Second Amendment advocates, NRA members, to, as you say, be in contact with your representative. Let them know this is important to you. This is something that you want to see from this bill.
And absolutely. And that's a really good point. I just want to leave you and your listeners with this. I think the U.S. Congress has realized there is more influence among the gun owning community than they realized. The gun owning community in America has woken up. We haven't seen this level of engagement from firearm owners contacting their elected officials since 2018. So I think it's important to remind those elected officials that this is an extremely passionate voting block of constituents, probably the most passionate. So we continue to ask our members to respectfully call their member of Congress and ask for this. And there is strong support on the Senate Finance Committee for this provision. So it's not one of these things where it's going to go to the Senate and die. There is strong support for this, as well as we fully expect the president to support it as well. So keep the pressure on.
And you are seeing some members of Congress come out and say that Section 2 of the Hearing Protection Act should be included here, right? I know Representative Andrew Clyde has come out and has said that needs to happen. So are you seeing a groundswell of support for that position in either the House or the Senate right now?
I am. Representative Clyde's obviously one of the strongest supporters of the Second Amendment and the entire elected body down here in D.C. He's got a bill, the Short Act. We support Short, which would remove short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, and other and suppressors from the NFA. However, in this process, through reconciliation, the full Short package, just as the same as the full HPA package, is going to have a challenge in when it's tested against Byrd. So we feel there is support, there is a consensus among the body, and it's politically viable to get Section 2 of HPA removed and that, or get it put in and then remove suppressors from the NFA. And we do have support, and we're seeing others. Remember, this bill is so complex that there's a lot of messaging going around on a lot of different issues not involving ours.
Right.
Yeah,
I was going to say, which is why it's important for us to make noise, right? Because we got to fight to be heard. We got to fight to be seen at this point because there are so many other issues involved here.
That's exactly right. And I think gun owners are making their voice heard. Just take a look at Twitter and or X and see the engagement level there. But that was really a lot of focus was on the committee. This bill's out of the committee. So it's important for our gun owners out there to focus their contacts now to their member of Congress who may have not been on the committee because they may not have been contacted yet. So I think it's important to keep pressure on for Section 2.
All right. John Comerford, Executive Director of NRA's Institute for Legislative Action. As always, good talking with you. Thanks so much for carving out a few minutes of your day and look forward to doing this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Cam.
My thanks to John for joining me on the program. And, you know, again, if we want to get our way, we have to get involved. And we're talking about suppressors, but we need to make some noise, not only on this issue, but on things like right to carry reciprocity. If we are not making noise, if we are not visible, if we are not engaging with our members of Congress, then it is going to be all too easy for them to take us for granted or ignore gun owners outright. And we definitely don't want that to happen, right? So, all right, on to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We will start there with a case out of Texas where a Lufkin man received 10 years probation for the armed robbery of a gas station in Angelina County. Pleaded guilty to this charge, and Jeffrey Dale Yarborough, after pleading guilty to first-degree felony aggravated robbery, was sentenced to 10 years of deferred probation, ordered to pay a $1,000 fine. Other terms of his probation include 80 hours of community service, mental health and substance abuse evaluations, cognitive theft and anger management classes, all of which is fine, but none of which negates the fact that Yarborough used a gun to rob a clerk of $400 in cash from a gas station in between Lufkin and Wells, Texas. The robbery caught on surveillance video. The evidence against Yarborough was pretty darn strong. So why a plea deal was even offered in this case is kind of a mystery to me, other than plea deals are offered in about 97%. Well, actually, about 97% of felony cases, at least in the federal system, are resolved through a plea deal. So the number of pleas that are offered actually probably a little bit higher than that. Again, I don't know why a deal was offered, other than perhaps that's just the status quo in Angelina County. But it seems to me that if somebody commits an armed robbery, there should be consequences beyond a slap on the wrist and 80 hours of community service. All right, on to today's armed citizen story from Alabama, where a robbery suspect was shot by their intended victim after an incident at a business in Birmingham, Alabama. You know, Randall Woodfin, the mayor of Birmingham, has been a favorite of the gun control groups for the past couple of years during the Biden administration. He was invited to the White House. He railed against permitless carry in Alabama. So, oh, we need to bring back those permits. Blamed Alabama's gun laws for an historic rise in homicides in Birmingham. That one that, by the way, did not happen in Huntsville, did not happen in Montgomery, did not happen in Mobile. But apparently, you know, it's the state's gun laws that were to blame for Birmingham's problems. Now, homicide rates, thankfully, have fallen quite a bit in Birmingham this year. Gun laws in Alabama haven't gotten any more restrictive, by the way, which refutes Woodfin's thesis that it was the gun laws of the state that are to blame for the violence in Birmingham. And in this case, you've got a gun owner who was protecting himself. It was Monday night, about 10 p.m., at the intersection of 1st Avenue North and 77th Street. Police say a man was approached by two suspects who then attempted to rob him. At some point during that robbery attempt, the intended victim was able to draw his firearm, shot one of the suspects before fleeing the scene and then calling 911. I mean, he didn't want to stick around, obviously, but he did alert authorities. Suspect who was shot, taken to University of Alabama Birmingham Hospital with life-threatening injuries. Police at last report had not said whether the second suspect had been taken into custody or whether they got away. But at this point, again, looks like a case of self-defense there in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll keep our eyes open for any details and updates and bring them to you in the future. And finally today, our good deed of the day, a firefighter from New Bedford, Massachusetts, who is on vacation in Bermuda, ends up rescuing a priest, saving the priest from drowning. Talk about, again, being in the right place at the right time. Michael D'Souza was assigned to Ladder Company Number 3 in New Bedford, Massachusetts, was with his family on a trip to Bermuda when both he and a 911 dispatcher from the town of Waltham, Mass., ended up responding to an emergency there on the beach. There was a 75-year-old man that had been found unresponsive, floating in about 2 feet of water next to his brother. D'Souza and the 911 dispatcher pulled the man to shore. Began CPR. According to media accounts, the 75-year-old was not breathing and had no pulse when the first responders got to him. But shortly thereafter, the New Bedford Police Department says that the man, quote, experienced a return of spontaneous circulation and became semi-conscious. There were two surgeons who happened to be on the beach at the time as well. They also helped until first responders who were on duty and not on vacation arrived there at the scene and took him to a local hospital. The 75-year-old identified as a Catholic priest from Halifax, Nova Scotia. He was on a cruise with his family celebrating the 50th anniversary of his ordination. And according to News Nation Now, the pastor has since fully recovered and has returned home. The New Bedford Fire Department praising Michael D'Souza for his actions, saying that they illustrate that the knowledge and skills learned as a firefighter can be called upon to save a life no matter where in the world you might be. Absolutely. And on duty or off. So there you go. In the right place at the right time, willing able to do the right thing. Michael D'Souza in New Bedford, Massachusetts. We thank you for your very good deed. Hey, speaking of Massachusetts, we've got a story at Bearing Arms today about the Civil Rights Coalition calling for an ethics investigation into Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell over a $50,000 donation that the AG gave to a gun control group in Massachusetts. It just so happens that the leader of that gun control group is also the leader of the campaign to defeat the effort to repeal Chapter 135 of the ballot box. A little bit of a conflict of interest there. That's just one of the many stories we've got for you at BearingArms.com. So I would encourage you to check out the website today. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And if you like what you see, I'd also encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. Use the promo code FIGHT, and you can get 60% off your membership. No matter what level of support you choose, you will be helping us continue to give you the latest Second Amendment journalism from an independent standpoint. But you'll also get some great benefits as well, whether it's an ad-free experience, the ability to take part in VIP Gold live chats, like what we do every Wednesday with Hot Air's Ed Morrissey, access to Town Hall TV, and more. So again, you can find out all of the details at BearingArms.com/subscribe. Use that promo code FIGHT to get 60% off of your membership. And thank you again for your support. Have a great rest of your Hump Day Wednesday. Looking forward to seeing you back here once again tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.